The tank continues to roll in Detroit. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast, Shawnee J and I look at the Lions' latest loss out in Denver. Then we look at prospective draft picks for next year's draft for the Lions. Then we have an outpride profile on a Lions safety from the 70s and 80s. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar.
What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
Hey, what's happening, people? The season's almost over. I mean, I love the Lions, but this has been a terrible season as far as injuries goes. They need to regroup.
All right. Well, first things first, we didn't record on Tuesday. It was Christmas Eve, and we were with our family, so we didn't get a chance to say it. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, for those individuals who celebrate Christmas and observe Christmas or just the holiday season. I know some people do not celebrate. They celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. So, but happy holidays to everyone out there from the Die Hard Den podcast.
Exactly. Now, out my mouth, I'm going to say, especially you're a military guy. Happy holidays, either Christmas, Hanukkah or Kwanzaa to those soldiers who are overseas in the Middle East or Asia, wherever you are in this world, protecting the United States. A big shout out to you. I know you can agree, man. I know you're feeling this from Curtis. They deserve a big shout out. Yes.
My brother, sister, and arms, I've been in that predicament plenty of times where I was overseas by my family. I know it's tough. So thank you for all you do. Salute to the soldiers, the men and women in uniform, and the armed forces that are protecting our nation. Keeping on that positive note, it is time to tell me something good. And this is a big story. If you haven't heard it yet, Matthew Stafford and his wife Kelly visited the Krause family on December 16th and took Christmas gifts to Taylor, Kalon, and Skylar, which is the three young sons, along with the wife, Heather, of Connor Croft, who passed away suddenly in September. And it was really out of the blue. Young man, he was only 40 years old. And the Staffords thought it was so important that they went and visited that family. Even stuck around and played some Madden. Number 9, that's my guy. Not just because of stuff he does on the field, but the stuff that really he does in the community of Detroit. You know, he's a big proponent of the Detroit Lions Academy. He does a lot of charity work in the area. So, and I think last year he was Detroit Lions Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for last season. We all know Devon Kennard is this season, but he does a lot of wonderful things, him and his wife Kelly. So, big shout out to the Staffords setting that example for us and thinking about others, especially during the holiday time, to reach out to those young men, and they made their day. There's videos everywhere, so you can go out on DetroitLions.com, and I think all the news affiliates right there in Detroit to take a look at that story, and just, you know, it does your heart good to see that here during the holiday season.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people want to get rid of Stafford. They trade him. He's a bum. We'll never win a thing with him. But, you know, Stafford is the best quarterback we had. You know, for years, the complaint about the Lions is we can't have a steady quarterback. We're changing quarterbacks every other year. Remember the graphic they showed during the Green Bay Packers game, Lions game a couple years ago? The Packers in 25 years only had two quarterbacks, Favre and Rodgers, where the Lions had about 100 quarterbacks over the same period. Now we got a solid guy, and we're still not happy. Stafford, you know, the false alliance are his fault, like I said. We're talking this podcast. Give the man a running back. Give him an offensive line. Put my man Bo Bischweiler in there. I had to get a bull plug in there. But, you know,
Stafford, you always do.
Stafford, he's also a great community guy. Him and his wife. I'm glad to see his wife recover, because remember, she had her personal issues or physical issues at the beginning this year with the brain tumor. So she's back on her feet. Good to see her back on her feet, too. But Stafford, he's a part of this community. I mean, like I said, he's just been, he's not the selfish, greedy shitty athlete who only thinks of himself. He's been involved in the community since he's been here. Even though a lot of you guys boo him and jeer him and want to get him out of town, he's been loyal to the Lions. And a lot of athletes, you know, like even pull a Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson retire early, even with this injury. Say he wants to come back strong and finish secure at the Lions. You got to love a guy like that. So Detroit, you better appreciate what you have while you have it.
Okay, I understand that. Say, hey, good things that coming out of the Stafford household. They have some wonderful pictures of them and their kids out on Instagram where they were celebrating the holidays with their girls, the twins and the youngest daughter. So big shout out to my man, Matthew Stafford, and his wife, Kelly, for making that family's day on December 16th and sharing the spirit of Christmas with that family. So moving on, now it is time to go on the ball. All right, my man, looking at last week's game, Blau, didn't do terrible. 50% completion percentage, 117 yards and a touchdown. And it wasn't bad. Yeah. I mean, I really think that the bright spot on the offense was that we got Kerryon Johnson back. Kerryon Johnson said a lot of individuals didn't want to see Kerryon Johnson playing this meaningless game. So they were questioning the Lions' judgment. But Kerryon said, if I'm healthy, I'm going to play. And he came off the IR and he played. I mean, he had 10 carries for 42 yards, a 4.2 average per rush, which is where most running backs want to be, around that 4 to 5 yard average per carry. The Lions as a team ran for 98 yards and averaged 4.6 yards per rush. I mean, that's not bad. So, I mean, that was alone really the really bright spot on the offense, my man.
Yeah. David Blau, once again, I want to see what he can do. The rookie, can he be the next great quarterback coming out of Purdue University? We went over to guys like Lynn Dawson and Bob Greasy and Gary Danielson and Jim Everett and, of course, Drew Brees. Can he be the next great one? Kyle Orton, another one came from Purdue. Can he be the next great one to come out of Purdue quarterback? Because they don't produce some quarterbacks. Well, he's a rookie. A couple things I hate about Blau. He was on the damn ball too long. He's taking sacks where he didn't have to. He's like, I was yelling, just going to get rid of the damn ball. Throw it away if you have to. Don't force me to throw it away.
Yeah.
But he really he took a sack, which is rookie mistakes, you know. People complain about his arm strength. Well, this arm isn't that bad. He has an adequate arm. He showed it, but he's pretty accurate. But like I said, he's a rookie. He's learning. Like I said, could he be the next back great out of Purdue University? Could he be the eventual backup and starter when Stafford does hang it up? Maybe. But also in the last game, I want to see Kyle Slaughter play. You know, we see what they were blocking. Give Slaughter a chance. Only one game. See if you want to sign him this season, off season. Keep him around and compete for the backup position next season. Because Stafford will need some backups. You know, Stafford is proved to be mortal this year. He was an Iron Man for almost 10 years. I thought he was our next Brett Favre. Even Favre, they his career suffered some injuries and had to miss some games. And Stafford, he took a lot of hits, took a lot of pounding, played a lot of injuries, you know, and that's why I say improve the offensive line, improve that running game, and you'll extend his career. And like I said, I want a running back, you know, Kerryon Johnson, Bo Scarborough. I love both those guys, you know, I love Scarborough especially. He has the size and speed. I love him, a running back. He played well when he got his opportunity. But the thing is, can either one of those guys stay healthy, and can you count them to be your top runners in 2020? That's why I say we need another running back.
Right. I hear you. One other bright spot on the offense as far as the nationally underrated Kenny Golladay had 6 receptions, 66 yards, with a touchdown, the average 11 yards a catch. Kenny Golladay is always a solid performer. Definitely one of the top receivers in the league.
Yes, one of Bob Quinn's better draft picks. And let's not forget about the offensive line. You know, PFF has called our center the best center in the NFL.
Frank Ragnar?
Yes, you know, he's got the number one. They call him the best center in the NFL, which is surprising. And only his second year and his first year at the center position, which was his natural position coming out of college. Before he got hurt, Joe Dahl had a pretty high PFF. And of course, the old reliable Michigan Wolverine, Graham Glasgow.
Yeah.
He had a high PDF. Even, you know, they say even Taylor Decker. You know, you may be telling all those sacks that Blau's been taking, you know, but holding the ball too long. I mean, they look like they deserve high PFFs. But the thing is, the offensive line, would you bring Rick Wagner back to play right tackle, or is he going to be a cap casualty and you try to give it to a younger guy like the guy from Oregon, you know, Crosby.
Terrell Crosby.
Yes, yeah. Will he be the new right tackle? Say, you know, hey, you know, get the huge movement.
I will say this. You know, he came from Baltimore. He was a Pro Bowler, and he hasn't been that Pro Bowler at Detroit. So I would say he may be out. I'm not sure if, you know, they're going to bring him back just because of the fact that, like you said, his subpar performances. However, you know, you never know with the Patricia and Quinn regime. So I really can't tell you. Would I want them to move on? Most likely, I would say probably, yeah. Will it be Crosby? Not sure. I mean, he would have to have a hell of an offseason for me to say, hey, he deserves to start at right tackle. If you understand what I'm saying, like,
yeah,
he plays solid, but is he a guy you want as a starting right tackle right now? Nah, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced of that. He has the potential to be a starting right tackle.
Hit the weight room and get stronger too, you know, and work on his footwork and his technique. You know, former All-Pro offensive lineman with the Saints, the center. You know, he used to play for the New Orleans Saints and Ohio State University in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Gosh, no. That man's name. And he signed a big contract with the Browns. We never played the Browns because injuries, sort of like a DeAndre Levy situation. But anyway, he has an academy of offensive linemen, you know, in Arizona. And Taylor Decker went to his academy. Gosh, the former All-Pro center for the Saints in the 2000s. Come on. Ohio State guy. I see the. Well, anyway, ooh, yeah.
If it's an Ohio State guy, I'm not really not going to know who he is.
Yeah, I hate Ohio State, but he was an All-Pro for the Saints in the 2000s. And we signed, we were trying to go back home to the Browns, a big contract. He got injured and never played a down for the Browns. So, same thing that happened to DeAndre Levy here. We signed that big contract. But anyway, he has an academy to teach offensive linemen how to, you know, play offensive line, I guess, make them better. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Crosby, he needs to get stronger and work on his technique if he's wanting to become the starting right tackle or even left tackle if they let Taylor Decker walk. Who knows? Or Decker decides to sign somewhere else in the offseason. Because who would you franchise? Who would you use the franchise tag on? Decker, perhaps?
Have the Lions even use their franchise tag? I don't think so.
You don't have to use it, but if you want to keep a guy around, who would you use it on?
Right now, it would probably have to be
Slay.
No, Slay's still on the contract.
For next year, though.
He's on the contract for next year.
Okay.
He's on the contract for next year. It's just no guarantees in that. Part of his contract for next year is not guaranteed. So that was a big, that's why he wanted the contract extension this year, because his contract is out of guaranteed money. So, A'shaun Robinson?
Perhaps, you know, but is A'shaun really, he's been a solid player, but has he really been, I want him on the Lions, but has he really been a dominant force? You're expecting a good player? Was he worth a franchise?
He has his spots, but looking at the roster, that would be the only person that I would even potentially use it on because of the fact that Golladay he's still on his rookie deal next year. So it he's might not be. Even, next year is his fourth year, so he'll still be under his last year of his rookie contract. So I don't see anybody really that I would say, hey, I have to use a franchise tag on any guy on the team right now. This is be honest with you.
Graham Glasgow or Decker.
I wouldn't probably. Between the two, I would say Graham Glasgow. I wouldn't franchise tag Taylor Decker.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yes. So, all right, then moving on. Let's go to the defense. Now it's time to defend the den. Talk about the defensive side of the ball. Bright spot for this week, leading the team with 9 tackles, would be Jalen Reeves-Maven. He's always been a tough player. You know, he's pretty fast, you know, undersized linebacker. Same with Tavon Wilson was up there with 9 tackles. Tracy Walker up there with 8. Rashawn Melvin with 8. We didn't get any sacks in the game. No interceptions, no turnovers. So we didn't turn the ball over, no interceptions, no fumbles. And the same thing, our defense didn't cause any interceptions or fumbles, which means our man Sam Martin was pretty busy for this game. Gave up too many passing yards, you know, easy touchdowns. That one run at the end of the game by Lindsey was, I mean, you can drive a tractor through that cutback hole. So, I mean, and he's just so fast. I mean, once he hit that second level, I think the only guy on the lines that would have caught him was probably Slay or Agnew. And those guys, I don't think they were in position to make a play. I know Agnew was on the sideline. Slay wasn't nowhere near Lindsey to make that play, so he was on the opposite side of the field. So when I saw him pass Reeves-Maven, it's like Reeves-Maven was standing still, and Reeves-Maven was in motion. So I did see this, and you can take it for what it's worth. The Lions administration, the ownership group, wants Matt Patricia to make some coaching changes in the offseason. And I think Pasquale is one of the guys that they want out of the building.
Yes. And Matt, you know, you're a defensive genius. That's what your call to fame was, you know, claim to fame was coming out of New England. You're your head coach. I wonder if he can do double duty, be the head coach and defensive coordinator.
Plenty of coaches that do it. That
yes.
They won run side of the ball, like down in New Orleans. Sean Payton is the offensive coordinator slash head coach. I mean, you know.
Yes.
So there's plenty of coaches that have success, dual had it. So I think that it's time for him to take over the defense, be the de facto defensive coordinator, run the defense, and leave the keys to
Bevel on offense.
To Bevel on offense. Yes, that's correct. Yes. So let's get into a little bit of special teams. Yo, go ahead, my man. Go ahead and brag on your boy.
Yes, yeah, so my boys – after a slow start, slow preseason where he was a risk of not even making a team, Jamal Agnew had a big punt return for a touchdown, the goal of his big kickoff return in Philadelphia. Now, Lions fans are kind of groaning because they want the Lions to lose. They had a 10-point lead at the time, but they eventually lost the game. And like I said, it's another thing. You know, fans, they want to see the team lose so they get a high draft pick. You know, that's kind of at commentary in itself, because those high draft picks don't always pan out. And everybody is hoping that they can somehow Washington, you know, wins in Dallas, or if they do have another 2 pick, they say, hey, we have enough defensive linemen, let's take an offensive tackle or something. And then the guy from Ohio State, Chase Young, falls to us. But you know what? Watch the playoff game this weekend, Saturday night, drink Clemson. I told the people in our group, watch the game. Let's see how well Young does against top competition, against the Clemson offensive line. The Clemson offensive line, you may see my post, dominates him. I don't want him because if, you know, sure they may double, triple team him, but what do you think is going to happen in the NFL? They're going to game plan for him. He won't be able to use his ability alone to dominate the NFL. You got to be smart. You got to be strong. You got to be, you have skill in the NFL. It's a whole nother level. So if Clemson dominates some Chase Young, I think he's been exposed. Even though Ohio State won handily against Michigan and Wisconsin the last 2 games, he didn't make any, he wasn't an impact in those games with Chase Young.
Getting back to your boy, Agnew, I think I heard a stat this weekend during the telecast. It was like, but I think it was before another player did it. It was that there had been 11 return totals for touchdowns. That's punt returns and kick returns combined, and he had 2 of them. I know there was a player over in the AFC who had 2 punt returns this weekend in the same game. I'm looking at his stats for the year. Will he make a return to the all-pro status? Because I know that the, as far as the, what do you call that? The Pro Bowl selections already been made. He was not an alternate for the Pro Bowl. And the year he made All-Pro, he wasn't a Pro Bowler, but he was an All-Pro by the AP. So, you know, it may be another year where, hey, he may be selected All-Pro because of his returns this season. I mean, he's doing a pretty good job. He settled down. I know he had a very rough start at the beginning of the season, but he's been solid the rest of the way. Yeah. Well, after that, especially after the Philly game. So he's been doing a really good job. But Prater was solid again, 1-for-1 on field goals, and he was 2-for-2 on extra points. Sam Martin was busy. You know, that's one thing, you know, a team is really not performing well is when their punter is busy. 5 punts for the game. He averaged about 52 yards a punt, 1 touchback. And with that altitude in Denver, he did not have any down inside the 20-yard line. No, you know, and that's where he usually shines. A lot of fair catches, a lot of hang time. He did his thing. I like to have a good punter. A punter is a good weapon, especially if you have a breakdown in your team and you need to pin them back. So you need to have a good, solid punter on your team. But like I just said, you know something's not right when your punter is punting that many times in the game. That means you're not scoring the ball that much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Lions, you know, all the injuries on both sides of the ball. Rookie quarterback, you know, missing offensive linemen. It's, you know, it's bound to happen. Like, so the fans, they want us to lose anyway, so we really can't complain. And let's hope this is worth it when it comes to this draft pick coming up this spring. We're going to pick between 3 and 5, I think. So we shall see.
I think we'll be number 3. I think it's going to be a solid number 3 for the draft pick. That's just me. All right, I agree. That's the defense side of the ball. Now it's time for 2 points conversing. This week, we had another injury. Jalen Tyve went on the injured reserve in the last couple of days. We talked about it last week. My opinion is that at this point in the season, the Lions organization is like, hey, any significant injury, we're going to, you know, sit the guy on the bench. There's no use to rehabbing him. You know, at this point, you know, only got one game left. We're going to go ahead and start shutting people down. Look how long it took him to sit Matthew Stafford down there. Like, look, guy, have a seat, which is a smart thing. I understand with Matthew Stafford's competitiveness that he wants to come back in and play, but it's just too risky. So looking at that, we're going to look on to next season, and I'm going to give you some names. We look at these positions of need, what we felt, what the positions of needs were for the Lions, and take a look at these prospects. We'll take a look at a couple per position. The big player that a lot of individuals want the Lions to take is a defensive end or edge rusher. And the number one ranked one in the prospect right now is Chase Young out of Ohio State. Chase Young is 6'5". Now, here's where he's 265, which is a big guy, but he's not a big guy. He's lean and athletic, but he doesn't have a lot of size to him.
Right. You guys more on, like you said, his athleticism and quickness. But can they work in the pros? And then, like I said, watch him against Clemson this Saturday night. If Clemson's offensive line manhandles him, there's going to be some questions raised. This guy worth the second overall pick in the draft? Is he really as good as we thought he was? But those 16 half sacks coming against lesser competition, because even Michigan and Wisconsin shut him out in defeat. So it'd be interesting what he does against Clemson. It's a big game for him.
Now you have the next guy down on this is A.J. Epenzia from Iowa. Now this guy, he's more of the prototypical type of defensive end rusher, 6'6", 280. Now he got some beef to him, probably got good speed and with some size. So you're looking at that. That's probably their prototypical size defensive end in the NFL. I would think the Chase Young would need to put some weight on. I would think, and the argument, I understand the argument you're just saying that, you know, he would get double and triple team, and thus our teams would control him in the college ranks. However, you put him across from Trey Flowers, you can't double team both of them. So, because then you're leaving Jarrett Davis or Tavai or Snacks or any of those guys coming up the middle. That's a pick-your-poison type of defense right there you're going to have to look at. Would I like a Chase Young? Yes. Am I really 100% sold on Chase Young? Not so much.
Right, because, you know, teams in the NFL is like college. They're going to game plan for him. Maybe he's one all-pro tackle that can handle the NFL. Maybe it has to be double team even. They can throw a fullback or chip him with a tight end. You know, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand that. All right, the next position we looked at is a running back. Now, yes. Running backs for the upcoming draft. Now, I'm going to read some names off. I'm going to read off three guys from the defense, excuse me, from running back. So right now, the position rank, the number one ranked running back is DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. DeAndre Swift is 5'9", 215 pounds. Then you have Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. He's 5'11", 219 pounds, which is a little bit smaller than what I thought he was, but he's still got some good size on him. And then the last guy is J.K. Dobbins out of the team from Ohio, 5'10", 217 pounds. What do you think about that group of running backs right there?
I'm surprised to hear that Swift is the number one prospect for running backs. I saw him play. He really hasn't impressed me. He's no Herschel Walker or anybody like that. I'm surprised, you know, he may be good, but he's not what I'm looking for. I really love Jonathan Taylor. He's a grind. I thought he weighed more than 219 too, but he says good size and speed. He kind of reminds me of Saquon Barkley, another Barkley. I mean, the guy has over 6,000 rushing yards in college, which is pretty damn good. I mean, he has the workouts. People say, who has offensive line in front of him? Well, I think he's still going to be good. If the Lions are healthy offensive line, I want to see him in the Lions. And J.K. Dobbins, I hate Ohio State. I'm sorry. But I'm professional. If you can help my Lions, even if you're from Ohio State or Michigan State or Notre Dame, I'll accept you. And I love you just like a son. But Dobbins, once again, he ran over Michigan in the final game. We had 20 yards against my Wolverines. We shall see. Once again, he's going to, just like Chase Young, let's see what does against Clemson. We'll see what does against Clemson. But I tell you, a couple guys like better than Swift and Dobbins. I told you already, I love Chuba Hubbard. He's actually leading the nation in rushing from Oklahoma State. And I also love A.J. Dillon, the big guy, 6 feet, 250-pounder out of Boston College. I really love those guys. I like big running backs. Don't give me the little 5'9", 180-pound running back. I like my offensive lineman big and my receivers big and my running backs big. So if you want to go defense, the first two picks, fine. But give me Dillon by the third round or even Najee Harris out of Alabama.
You know, the most surprising thing for me as far as the running backs, top five guys, all underclassmen. All of them are juniors. All of them.
No seniors, huh?
No seniors. All right. So moving on, the next group we're going to look at was the, corners. Okay. So you have the top guy is you have Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State, out of, team from Ohio, 6 feet one, 200 pounds even. You got Xavier McKinney out of Alabama. He's a junior, 6 foot one, 200 pounds, which is about the right size for a corner. And then you have CJ Henderson out of Florida, 6 foot one, 202 pounds. You know, we got some good speed guys in here. Always got some good size, 6'1". To me, that defensive back position has changed a lot over the years. You know, back in the day, average cornerback was about 5'10". About 5'8 and 5'10". So, you know, they want the longer, because the receivers are getting bigger, they want bigger corners. So, what do you think about those defensive backs there? What
do you think of the corners? Right. I don't know too much about the other two guys, but I know about Okuda from Ohio State. He's been, all the early mock drafts, he's been the guy paid to go to the Lions at 5. I looked at his stats. He isn't, I know stats don't to the whole thing. I look at his stats. They really don't jump out on me. He has a few career interceptions. I ask, is he really worth it? I'm sure he's good. Maybe worth the first round pick, but really, is he another Deion Sanders type shutdown corner. Mm-hmm. Is he that good? Yeah. You know, because Deion was the fifth pick at the Lions. Almost, they really won over another guy named Sanders. I think they made the right decision back then. I'll never forget, though, the classic line that Deion made to the Lions. The Lions want him to go to pay him so much money, got to put some in layaway to get him. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that line that Deion said 30 years ago. But is Okuda, is he a shutdown corner like Deion? You know, what do you think? I'm not sure. You know, is he really that good?
I'm not. I would take the guy who's ranked ranked second, which is Christian Fulton out of LSU, DBU. Them guys put out some big, you know, that's a whole big old thing. You got three different teams that claim they're DBU. You got LSU, you got Texas, and you got Florida all claiming DBU. But right now, Fulton's had a more solid season at LSU. It's tough to throw on those guys. But, yeah, I mean, looking at these individuals, I would say that he's probably going to test out as far as the combine, as far as probably the best prospect, probably at his pro day as well, you know, workout warriors, but we'll see. Moving on to the linebackers. Now these are the guys that really, a couple of these guys really impressed me. I'll read two names, really. You have Murray out of Oklahoma, and you have Dylan Moses out of Alabama. These guys are some thumpers right here. I mean, you got some good size, good speed. Murray, 6'2", 234. And Dylan Moses out of Alabama, 6'3", 235. I mean, these guys have some good, strong motors and can hit and will lay you out. And I've seen both of these guys chase down quarterbacks, blitzing, blowing up running backs in a hole. I know we say, well, we took a linebacker last year. I'm not saying we take a linebacker in the first round, but I'm just looking at the prospects. Even down the line, you have Zach Bond out of Wisconsin, 6'3", 235 pounds. He played very good against the Wolverines earlier this year. So I'm not saying the Lions need a linebacker, but it would not hurt us to look at that position. I think Christian Jones is getting a little long in the tooth, and it just gives you some more flexibility in the linebacking core. I think you need somebody who's got that same speed to match with Jared Davis on the inside.
Yes, and we lost all three linebackers, all on the starters on injury reserve, Tavay, Christian Jones, and of course Jared Davis. So the linebacker wouldn't hurt, especially if he can rush the passer. I'll get to see two of those guys you mentioned, one from Oklahoma, right? We'll see him in the playoffs against LSU, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll see some of those defensive backs too you mentioned out of LSU in the playoffs this Saturday. And we get to see a guy from Alabama against my Wolverines on New York State in the Citrus Bowl, which is one of the top games. I think everybody thinks Bama's going to blow them out. I think the Wolverines going to stay close, especially since Bama's playing about Tua. Now, they still had Tua, who's another story. You know, they have him going fourth overall to Miami. That's a risk because of his bad hip. I think that's a risk, but I digress. I think the Wolverines have a chance of beating Bama. And Bama, like I said, you know, not used to this. I mean, this is it's the first time in the playoff era they haven't been in it. So we'll see how seriously or what the Bama guys have their heads in the game, and can Michigan take advantage of that if they don't. So, but we'll see that. I'll get to see that linebacker, both those linebackers in the bowl games, in the playoffs, in the next few days. Yes.
Now, looking at the safety position, now we'll say that we just took Will Harris. I still think Will Harris has some growing to do. And there's some guys coming out in the draft I really would like better than Will Harris right now at this time. One of them being Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson. Big guy, 6'4", 230. I mean, hard-hitting guy. Now, one of the smaller guys that I like is J.R. Reed out of Georgia. That guy can ball. Now, J.R. Reed, he's accomplished. He's a senior. He has provides leadership. The only downside as far as he's concerned is he's a little bit smaller at 6'1" and 194. I know you're not a big defensive back guy. You know, that's not your forte. You like the linemen. But those two guys, and even honorable mention would be Delpit out of LSU. Big, good size, 6'3", 203. You know, that defensive secondary in LSU, I mean, they've really shut some good power offenses down during the season. I mean, that first half of the Alabama game, they really held those guys. And you look at those Alabama receivers, you have at least, and we'll see in the next one coming up, they saying you have three or four guys that can get drafted in the first round as far as wide receivers are concerned. Those are the guys I think that they would do the as far as coming out of in the draft. Those guys would add some depth to our safety position. I like Tavon Wilson, but he's more of that tweener type of guy. I mean, Tracy Walker's got to get healthy to get his speed back. But we need another good cover guy back there, and really felt the loss of Quandre Diggs going to Seattle. Well, I still question that.
Me too. Complaining on Bob Quinn and Patricia. That's what he really screwed up.
Yeah. The safety position, I think we need another young guy back there. I don't think right now, looking at Will Harris's performance, unless he just makes this, like the famous Crosby, this miraculous jump from year one to year two, I'm not really seeing him as a long-term answer at safety.
Yes. That takes care of defense, right? In the draft pick?
No. Yeah. We got one more position to go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That I looked at. One more position that people are going to say they're going to moan and groan. I'm not saying take these guys in the first round, but I'm looking at the top receivers coming out this year. Now, I'm not saying don't beat me up. I'm not saying that we're going to pull another, we had enough Matt Millen era wide receivers, and we finally got it right with one, Calvin Johnson. But look at Jerry Jeudy coming out of Alabama. That guy's a baller, 6'1", 192.
Little light, though.
Yeah, you got the biggest guy that's coming out is, if he comes out, is T. Higgins out of Clemson. 6'4", 215, and can fly. So we'll have a chance to look at him during the college football playoff. And another guy you get to look at during the playoff is my man out of Oklahoma, C.D. Lamb. That guy can flat out play.
Now, we'll see him Saturday. Smaller. Yes.
Yeah, 6'2", 189, but he plays a lot bigger than that. So Lions fans, don't kill me, but these are some potential individuals that, that are coming out in the draft that we may have a chance to look at this weekend and say, hey, look at these guys and see, are they worth the potential? Maybe the Lions pick up another draft pick and slide down and get someone else. So you never know if they're going to stay at number three, if what Bob Quinn's thinking about.
And,
they'll trade back and pick up somebody else. You maybe get two players, two for the price of one.
I will mention, as far as receivers go, if they decide to go pro, are my two boys from Michigan, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins. Both have good size. There's been some speculation that they both may leave. Tariq Black already, he's transferring. He has 2 years
left. Yeah, he went in the
portal, yes. And Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins are thinking about entering the draft. They're undecided at this point. I think it might be a mistake for both of them to go, but they got the talent.
I think they need to go back and do one more year in school.
I really love Collins. He has his size. I already saw some articles this year comparing him to Randy Moss, especially in those jump ball situations. He has size. Remember, Michigan stole him from Bama. He was supposed to go to Alabama. So he's going to play against a team he's originally committed to. So I like Nico Collins. I really like him. 6'4", 215, good size, good speed, good leaping ability. I really like him. That's all I can say. Him and Peoples-Jones, there's some speculation in might go pro. It all depends on how well they play this next on New Year's Day.
All right. Well, what you got, my man, for 2 points conversing this week?
The Lions had a ton of injuries on both sides of the ball. Even the Iron Man Stafford, he's missed half the season because of a back injury. And Graham Glasgow, who's another Iron Man, he's missed 2 games. Football's a sport, no doubt about it, but what is there anything the Lions can do to prevent all these injuries from happening again? I never seen it this bad. Is it off-season conditioning? Is it the weightlifting? Is it they eat their spinach? What can they do training-wise to prevent all these injuries, in your opinion? Do they need a new strength conditioning coach or new techniques or steroids or what?
I'm not sure. I would say, always say that football is a contact sport. Tomorrow's never promised to anyone, and football has the biggest fruition rate as far as players. Professional sports, the shortest career for any professional sport is American professional football, just because of the fact of the type of game it is, how physical it is, and how it's played. Will I say that this is the biggest mass unit I've seen in the Lions in a long time? Yeah, I've never seen this many injuries. However, I do think that right now the Lions are like, if somebody has a small tweak or something like that, the Lions are just shutting them down. I think that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn is driving this tank. That was the title of last week's podcast, is who's driving this tank. And then this week, I'm going to tell you who's driving this tank. I think the tank is being driven by Patricia and Quinn. At this point, they say there's no reason for us to play these players. So I think if the Lions were winning, even with these guys with these injuries, they would be playing.
Going forward, because 2019 is over, looking forward to the new decade and, you know, new hope in 2020. Mm-hmm. Hopefully have perfect vision then. Get it like mm-hmm. it there. But what, you know, in the offseason is going to be very important for the draft, the free agency, mm-hmm. and the guys we do have. You know, I think the strength, looking at this season, the strength and conditioning program is going to be very important. Mm-hmm. You think they might mm-hmm. try some different, hire a new strength and conditioning coach or what, it doesn't matter.
It quite possibly could happen because of the fact that if you look at the last few years, you have had some significant injuries on the Lions. And I know that they have a special relationship with the strength and conditioning coordinator that runs that staff, you know, another former New England guy. But I think they may move on from him if pressured by the ownership because of the fact that we've had this many injuries over the past few years. So it's very possible that the Lions move on. So I would not be surprised if there's changes up and down the board to the whole coaching staff, as far as, you know, equipment managers, and I don't even know if they're going to keep the grounds crew in, the guys that keep up Allen Park. You know what I'm saying? They may be looking at a complete overhaul. I'm just saying.
Yeah, strength and conditioning, you know, that sound boring, but I'm be watching the Lions offseason workout programs mm-hmm. in this winter's offseason, because I want to see how hard they're working. Like I said, it may or may not make a difference, but you know, you never know. You know, we want to get in shape, the best possible physical shape. You know, some guys in tip-top shape will still get injured, but I know that. But still, I think we need to maybe change our techniques or something.
Hell, right now, the people in the cafeteria might not be safe.
nutritional value, give them junk food, yeah. Like cupcakes and fruit pies instead of spinach.
So I'm just saying, hey, all right, that's 2 points conversing this week. Some good topics. When we get back from the break, we'll go ahead and get our prior profile on a Lions player. And we're back from the break. And now my man, Shawnee J, has a our prior profile, a sad incident. So I'll let you have at it. Give your profile this week, my man, Shawnee J.
This week, I'm profiling a former Lion who was one of my favorite players when I first started following the Lions. He sadly passed away. As reported, he passed away, even though there's some mixed reports. Some say he passed away. Other reports say he didn't. But a former Lion teammate did confirm he indeed passed. I'm talking about one former safety, Jimmy Spider-Man Allen. First of all, Jimmy Allen was born in Los Angeles, California on March 6, 1952. He started his playing career at Pierce College, Junior College in California before transferring to UCLA. We had two pretty good seasons. Spider-Man Allen was drafted in 1974 by the Pittsburgh Steelers and won the classic, one of the best drafts in NFL history, when their first year it started a Super Bowl run. Get this. Allen was drafted 4 among players you may have heard of, like Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Mike Webster, Jack Lambert, and really rub it in. He even signed an undrafted free agent safety out of South Carolina State by the name of Donnie Shell, who only played 14 years with them and is third in the history of 51 interceptions in the Hall of Fame himself. Allen was a starter, one of those guys in the secondary, like guys like Mel Blount and the aforementioned Donnie Shell. And he, in his first 2 seasons with the Steelers, they won Super Bowls. Jimmy Allen's always been an outgoing player, a little too outgoing for his conservative coach, Chuck Doe. So he's traded before the 1978 season to the Lions, where he still is one of the most popular players in Lions history. He played with the Lions from 1978 to 1981. He He was part of that unfortunate 1979 team that went 2-14. And what he's best remembered for, perhaps, is during the start of the 80s season, when they drafted Billy Sims and started season 4-0, he, along with tight end David Hill and defensive back James Hound Hunter, recorded or remade the song "Another One Bites the Dust," the Lions anthem. You know, after that terrible 2-14 season, Jimmy, he couldn't help himself. He felt redeemed. Unfortunately, after that 4-0 start, the Lions went 5-7 the rest of the way and just missed the playoffs, thanks to a miracle Hail Mary catch by Amari Rashad in Minnesota against the Cleveland Browns. So the Browns would have won that game. The Lions would have won the division and made the playoffs. Once again, that's happened before. We see this happen, you know, years later when all we need is Yancey Thigpen to hold on to a damn touchdown pass, and we could have won the division 1995. So once again, the history of the Lions haven't learned their lesson yet. Don't count on other teams to take care of your business. Take care of your own business. Spider-Man Allen returned for his last season, what turned out to be his last season, 1981. That was his best season. We had a career-high 9 interceptions. He wasn't even named to the Pro Bowl that year. So he's one of the league leaders. However, that in the offseason, 1982, at 30 years of age, the Lions decided to get younger. They drafted young guys that year in the draft, such as Bruce McNorton, Bobby Watkins, and William Graham. You might have heard those guys. Mm-hmm. And they decided to trade the 30-year-old Allen to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 4th-round draft pick. Allen was cut by the Chiefs prior to the season. He never signed another NFL team again, never played again in the NFL. Like, unfortunately, like many players, former players, Jimmy kind of struggled after football, bounced around from job to job. He struggled with his finances. He had, you know, developing health issues from his football career, and he was homeless from time to time. Sadly, it was reported last week that he died at the age of 67. He was still a young man. Former Lion Larry Lee, who also went to UCLA and was a teammate for one season with Allen, reported and it was confirmed by several other credible websites that he passed away at the age of 67. But Jimmy Allen was a flamboyant, outspoken player. He was the Quandre Diggs of his time. Chuck Doe traded him away for similar reasons, the Lions, after winning 2 Super Bowls with them. So he was one of my favorite Lions as a kid when I first started watching the team. If he has indeed passed, may he rest in peace. And number 40 in your heart always, Jimmy Spider-Man Allen.
All right. Good profile, Jimmy Spider-Man Allen. All right. Now it's time for Now You Know. And this week we're going to cover something that's going to be hitting pretty soon. Future contracts. We'll be back after this.
Now You Know is brought to you by Foster Camera Solutions. For your home or business security needs, call Dan at Foster Camera Solutions for a free estimate at 248-672-8640. With no monthly fees and self-monitoring from your smartphone, computer, or tablet, let Foster Camera Solutions design a security camera system that fits your needs. You can also visit their Facebook page for more information at facebook.com/Foster Camera Solutions. Remember, Foster Camera Solutions, when securing your home or business. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of Now You Know. This week, we're going to cover futures contract. So basically, I know you heard this term recently. It comes around at the end of every season about futures contracts. So we're going to break it down for you. So when you hear this term, you can understand what it means and have a better knowledge of the game. So let's hop into it. Now, this information was provided to me by CBSSports.com and their NFL section. So we're going to hop into it. What is a future contract? A future contract is the same as a regular active roster contract with regular rules for minimum veteran salaries, cap charges, signing bonuses, what have you. The difference is that it does not take effect until the start of the next league year. So for next season, this will start on March 11th at 4 p.m. starts the 2020-2021 league year for the NFL. This is according to the sources at CBS Sports. Teams can sign players to future contracts as soon as the previous regular season is over, but the contracts will not count against the salary cap or 53-man roster limit for that current season It will start, as we said before, against the next year's 90-man cap roster limit plus the next year's salary cap. In the meantime, the player has to go, once they sign to a futures contract, on the reserves future list and cannot be signed by another team. So who's eligible for this? Any player who was not on an active roster at the end of the outgoing regular season. According to the Godfather, Gil Brandt, you may have heard of him. He's on NFLPost.com. He also hosts radio shows on SiriusXM NFL Network channel. And he was the catalyst of the Cowboys and really the moderate GM. He was the first general manager for the Cowboys and the NFL who used computers to do analytics and to pick draft picks. And he was that architect that really built a lot of the Cowboys championship teams back in the 80s and 90s. So according to Mr. Brandt, so if a player who was an unrestricted free agent on any team's practice squad after week 17, they can be signed to a futures contract. So here's the deal with the futures contract. So for the most part, they are used on players who weren't didn't cut the mustard for the season to make an active roster, but they're good enough to keep around. So most of those guys are on practice squad and may be good enough to make the next year's active roster. So in many cases, teams will lock up these players so people can't poach them from their practice squad. So that's why most times you see teams sign players that are on their practice squad to a futures contract, and they have to make sure they're eligible for the practice squad for the next year as well. So if you want to learn about practice squad players and who's eligible to be a practice squad player, you have to go back into our archives and listen to the Now You Know we did on practice squad players. All right. So there's no limit to how many futures contracts a team can sign as long as they will be under the 90-man roster cap at the beginning of the league year. Technically, an unrestricted free agent that's on the street can be signed to a futures contract. However, you have a big name veteran out there, they're not going to sign a futures contract. Why is that? Here's why. Typically, there are a minimum salary deals with little or no signing bonuses because they're not guaranteed. These players that sign these future contracts are guys fighting for a roster spot, just like an unrestricted free agent, a rookie that's coming into the league, didn't get drafted, or someone off the street who was in the league before or just trying to make a roster. So those guys, they're not going to have a lot invested into their contract. It's just going to be something where another team can't come and poach them off in the offseason. Now, these players are very key to a roster. So, you know, you want to build some of that next year's 90-man camp roster with the future contracts. So those are some of the guys you could look for. Maybe back in the day or a few years ago, we had Jace Billingsley, where they signed him to a futures contract for the Lions. So another team would sign him off the practice squad or sign him during the offseason. They would want to use him for a practice squad player for another team, getting ready for the playoffs. So to prevent that, the Lions would have signed him to a futures contract. So futures contracts is a way to keep young talent that you might want to look at for the future of your team. So there you have it. Futures contracts. If you don't know, now you know. Like my man, Biggie Smalls, baby, baby. Now let's get back to the Die Hard Dead podcast with my man, Shawnee J.
All right, that was future contracts on Now You Know. Now it's time to go on to the next one. Packers, Lions, Sunday, season finale. Thank God it's over. All right, so I really think that, to be honest with you, I've never been a fan of tanking. I think the tank is on, and I think it's going to be really bad this week. I think it's going to be a lot of boos. I think Ford Field is going to be pretty much empty this week. This is because of the fact that Packers are coming to town, and the Packers are going to play their starters because the Packers are going to playing for first place. And without Stafford and a lot of our actual starters in the game, a lot of them on injured reserve, aren't playing. I just don't see it going very well for us. It won't be the same matchup like we had at Monday Night Football earlier this year.
Yeah. Yeah, with too many guys out for us, it's going to be ugly. I can see for Phil, filled with cheesehead fans, very obnoxious, even worse when I was at the Lions-Cowboys game earlier this year. All those damn annoying Cowboy fans, Packer fans is worse. I remember last year, Lion fans were complaining about winning in Lambeau, even though they complained about not winning in Lambeau, you know, for 24 years. And they complained, well, we could have a better draft if we just lost. Well, you're going to get your wish this year, Lion fans. That's why I tell people in the group, shut up. I don't hear no complaining. It's what you wanted, you know, and it's happening. Reality happens. Deal with it. So, yeah, you know, you haven't heard the story that a dealer, auto dealer in New Orleans is offering David Blau a brand new ride on him if he can somehow have the best game of his life and he finds a victory. Even
he doesn't. I haven't heard that.
It's a good story. Yes, I can see your link article. Yes, it's a true story. And even Blau does play his ass off. I don't know if it'd be enough because too many guys are too many hurt. And if the Lions did pull the game off somehow, a miracle, Lions fans would be pissed because they'll go from 3-5. So the Lions are in no win position. So they're going to get ripped if they lose or get ripped if they win. So I just, like I said, I'm glad the season's over with because too many guys are hurt. I mean, it's been a bad season. Hope I'll be watching this offseason. You know, it's to be boring, but I'll be watching the offseason conditioning program to see if, you know, guys get stronger and you stay healthy in 2020.
Neither one of us are really looking at the Lions winning this game. So I just hope no one else gets hurt seriously, career-ending injury prior to the season being over.
And let's hope the Lions, if they lose, it's not an embarrassment, not a 30-point blowout or nothing like that. Hope they keep at least respectable.
Right. All right. So that's it. Now on to the next one. We'll be back in a second to close out the show. All right, we're back from our last break. We're going to start having some giveaways here on the podcast. First giveaway, you'll have 3 weeks to enter. We'll start in the new year. We'll give out a word of the week on each podcast. So to enter the podcast, and we'll do this again for the first week, you have to like and follow the Facebook page. You're going to have to like the post that each week we have on the Facebook page of the podcast. And then you have to go to Twitter and tweet the word of the day to the Die Hard Damn Podcast Twitter feed. And that enters you each week into the contest for the free drawing for the item. But we'll go over everything again next week. And you have to listen to the podcast to be able to win the prize. And we will only announce the winner of the podcast and tell them how to claim their prize on the podcast. So you're going to have to listen up to make sure you know you won the prize. But with that being said, it's time for us to get on out of here. Shawnee J, tell the people how they can get a hold of you on social media.
Well, mainly and only on Facebook. My name is Sean Jennings. You can find me. I'm also the head administrator of the best Lions page on Facebook. The two best, I should say. I'll be happy to add you to either one. And, you know, we'll stay updated all offseason on the Lions moves this offseason.
All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Curtis Steele 14, CurtisSteele14. And you can find this page on Facebook. There's the Die Hard Damn Podcast Facebook page. We also have our Twitter feed is at Die Hard Damn Pod C1. You can email the show, diehardpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, we appreciate you listening to us and, you know, being a faithful follower of the podcast. But we're going to do some expanding. We're going to have, you know, we want some giveaways. We'll have a giveaway once a month so everyone can get some free Lion gear for listening to the podcast. So you get some free Lions gear for checking us out. And as always, with my man Shawnee J, this is Curt Steele, and we are out.